Every summer, some of the ice that covers the Arctic Ocean melts. Come mid-September, it begins to refreeze. Scientists began to monitor this cycle in the late 1970s, and this year they saw less ice than ever before. A lot less ice. NPR science correspondent Richard Harris joins us here in Studio 3A. Richard, nice to have you on the program.
Always a pleasure, Neil.
And how big is this change?
It is big. The previous record was in 2007, where a very large percentage of this ice melted away. This year, it's already bigger than 2007 by an area the size of Texas. This really shattered that record, which in itself was a pretty dramatic departure from the average.
And, well, if things melt, it's because things are warmer, right?
That is exactly right. And what happens also is the Arctic ice has been getting thinner over the years. And so it used to be that you could have some warm summers up there and you wouldn't melt it all away because you'd have 10 feet or 20 feet thick of ice and you'd melt some of it, but you wouldn't melt it all the way through. But because of this warming trend up there, it is where the planet is warming faster than anywhere else, the Arctic, what we've seen is the ice getting thinner up there. And so a fairly small perturbance will actually melt a lot of the ice because it's thin to begin with. You don't have to melt 20 feet of ice. You might melt 3 feet of ice.
And you mentioned 2007 was the previous record. How are the intervening years between 2007 and this year?
Up and down, actually. It's not a steady trend where every year gets worse as it goes. In fact, we haven't been near as bad as 2007 until this year. But 2007 was a big bump down and then sort of rattled around in that area. We got it close a couple of years, but nothing this dramatic until this year.
And scientists, as they saw this, how big a deal is it?
It's a big deal. I think for them, they use words like astounding and dramatic and so on. The words that are that really are, you know, make draw the point that this is a really big change, and it's obvious. This is not a small thing. This is huge.
And why is it important?
It's important because it is, for one thing, the most visible sign of climate change. There's little question that this is as a result of global warming that this is happening, and so that's one thing. The next thing is, of course, the ecosystems in the Arctic depend upon a certain amount of floating ice. The walruses dive off of it. The polar bears rely on other seals and so on. It's an important part of that ecosystem up there. So it has some local effects. But what's also becoming more and more apparent is it's going to be affecting our weather down here because when you get an extra degree of warmth up in the far north, you're going to change the way weather patterns move through the rest of North America. And I talked to a scientist today who said we could be seeing things like those really slow-moving, big, heavy snowstorms that come along. It's not that there would necessarily be faster storms or whatever. In fact, it's just the opposite. There'd be slower storms as a result of this pattern. And as a result, instead of just moving on by, not causing so much grief, you can get huge amounts of snow and ice dumped on us here. And not only here, also in Russia. We've had, of course, this past summer was very mild here. But when it's mild here, you need to look around the rest of the world and say, was it mild everywhere? And the answer is usually no.
Along those lines, we read reports that temperatures in the contiguous 48 states have been above average in each of the last 15 months, which has never happened for as long as people have been keeping records, and that 2012 is on track to be the warmest year ever. As we read about this record Arctic ice melt, is this a coincidence?
Well, it's all part and parcel of the same thing, but I will say that January through August of this year has been the warmest January through August period since 1895 when they started taking temperature records. That's in the contiguous lower 48. Alaska's actually had a fairly average year, so everything does not march in lockstep. But again, the situation with the ice in the Arctic is this has been accumulating over decades of warming up there, and we're finally seeing the results of that. So this one summer was not at all a key up there. In fact, what was interesting to one of the scientists I talked to, he said basically, you know, what was astounding about this was that there was no real astounding weather pattern up there that explained this dramatic difference. It was just kind of reaching this point of where the ice was just so thin that it was just ready to crumble.
Ice is white. It reflects light. The sea is blue. It does not reflect light. It absorbs it and thereby the heat that comes with it.
That's right, and that makes a big difference. We're essentially taking a mirror off the top of our planet, and that means that the planet's absorbing more heat. That heat does go into the ocean. That warms the ocean. What's going to happen when the ice starts to freeze up again, which it will this fall, is all that heat, or a lot of that heat, has to come out of the ocean before the ocean temperature gets to the freezing point again and can freeze. So we're going to have a huge outflux, I guess, of heat out of the ocean back into the atmosphere, but because it's been building up there. So not only did the warm water help melt the ice, but now it's going to come out, and that feeds into the change in weather patterns I mentioned earlier.
And also this open water in places that have always been frozen over before, that exposes these areas to economic activity that has never happened before. The Northwest Passage, usually thought of as, well, it's frozen, you really can't get through there without some nuclear-powered icebreaker or something. This is now an area of enormous economic exploitation.
It is. It's starting off. There was a cruise ship that wandered into Barrow, Alaska a year ago, which was surprising to everybody because you shouldn't have a cruise, you know, they weren't prepared for a cruise ship to land in this tiny Arctic outpost. But it's a funny thing because it's not consistent, even though this has been a really low ice year. Just today, Shell Oil announced that it had to pull out of its oil drilling, which had just started yesterday mm-hmm. in the Arctic Ocean, in the Chukchi Sea, because they had discovered that there was a 30-mile-long iceberg heading towards them, and they had to get out of the way. So even in periods where there's a lot of ocean water that's just plain open, ice is still a hazard up there, and it will be for decades to come.
And as this trend continues, you said look globally. Is it true in Antarctica as well? There's a lot of ice in the ocean that's around the Antarctic continent.
Yeah, it's a little more complicated in Antarctica because what happens is, for one thing, the southern ocean around Antarctica is warming up. The temperature measurements are clear on that. But what happens around as a result of that is you end up with more precipitation. So you actually have expanding sea ice around Antarctica, at least in the wintertime. In the summertime, it all melts away, or almost all of it melts away, and it has for a long time because it's a very different situation from this closed bowl of an ocean in the Arctic where the ice can pile up and get thicker and thicker. In the Antarctic, that's never been the case. It always has melted away. So it's not a big change down there. A little bit, the extent of the wintertime ice is a little bit broader than it has been before. But again, getting back to your discussion of the mirror and ice being reflective, that's less important in the wintertime when that's at its maximum extent. And then the summertime, it melts away pretty much every year.
In getting back to the northern regions, the Arctic, scientists have long feared that if this trend continues, there will come a summer where there's no ice at all.
I think people are starting to back away from that a little bit because there are enough little pockets where you could get some ice accumulating every summer and not melting out, because basically you have the wind that pushes it together and piles it up. So you'll always have a few places where it's piled up. But on the other hand, that will be a fairly small part of the Arctic, quite a small bit. So it's not. So for practical purposes, the ocean will look ice-free, and the North Pole may be sort of in a large area of no ice at all. Occasionally, right now, there are cracks and there are openings that drift around, and so sometimes the North Pole itself is in an ice-free area, but
open
it could
water,
be possible to be in a large area of open water in the coming decades. That's the expectation.
The other enormous area of a white reflective surface is the ice cap that covers the island of Greenland, the biggest island in the world, and that this summer also had a really powerful melt.
Yes, and that's a very different situation because the ice sitting on the ocean, when it melts, it doesn't change sea level. If you think of a glass of iced tea and you put your ice cubes in the iced tea, when the ice melts, your ice sea obviously doesn't overflow. The ice just
There's a slight difference in volume, but not significant.
Yeah, it basically doesn't. But the melting ice that's floating doesn't matter. But a lot of the ice sitting on Greenland and on Antarctica, the continent of Antarctica, when that ice melts, that does in fact add water to the sea, and those are in the long term likely to drive sea level rise, and could drive sea level rise by a great deal in the coming decades and centuries.
So is this anomalous? I mean, is this, as you said, it's definitely part of a trend. There's no way to argue it anymore about the warming and that it's having real effects. How is it going faster than people feared?
Yes, I think if you talk to the scientists who've done the computer models that are projecting how quickly things will happen, a lot of those models say that ice could be largely gone by 2030, 2040, 2050, but they say what we're actually seeing is outracing those computerized trends. So the computers in this case are giving an optimistic picture compared to what we're seeing in real life here. So yes, this is a real eye-opening event for people.
And that suggests to people in this country, as they look around to the weather that we've been experiencing these past couple of summers, that they better get used to it.
That's right. I think, there's still obviously a lot of skepticism in this country about whether global warming is real or not, or whether it's caused by human activities. Scientists don't argue that point by and large anymore, but I think a lot of people in the public do. But I think it's come to the point where people can't say, well, people at least have to acknowledge that it's hotter now and getting hotter, and it's been hot for a long time. And this is this is a new normal for us. And whatever you believe about the politics of this, you have to acknowledge this is something we have to get used to at least, and maybe think seriously about, is there a way to put the brakes on this?
Richard Harris, thanks very much for your time today.
It's my pleasure.
NPR science correspondent Richard Harris joined us here in Studio 3A. He'll be back later today with more on the record ice melt on All Things Considered. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.